How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine through now what is the end of the Boston Celtics season. Celtics fall to the Cavaliers. I'm looking at the score and I'm laughing. It just looks so bad. 135-102, another blowout loss for the Celtics. All four losses were not close. And a little bit of an indication that the Celtics still have a lot of work to do, but luckily they are in a great position to do that work. Here is my post-game partner with me, Sam Jam Packard. We are the Rain and Jays, brought to you today by Boston Paintball. They will cheer you up going to paintball with a bunch of your friends and shooting paintballs at one another right now. Sounds like a whole lot of fun, and we've got a deal for Boston Paintball with you later on. Thanks to them for sponsoring. Thanks to you for listening. Sam, I mean, what can you do? LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, they came out fast and there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, no, the best thing I can do right now is just, you guys remember game three? Game three was a good time when they won that game. It kind of takes me back to something, not takes me back, but something Manu Ginobili said after the Spurs lost to the Warriors. It's that it's like when you get your ass kicked this bad and by this many points, it doesn't, like, compared to a series in which there is like a bunch of close games or games that went bad over like one call or you dribble the ball off your foot. Like, those are the kind of series that you think about and you replay over and over again. And just this, when the Cavs just like thoroughly kicking the shit out of the Celtics, it's not something that like it's, we knew going in that the Cavs were a better team. We didn't know that they were this much better. And obviously Isaiah Thomas being hurt to begin the series and then not playing the last three games is a huge factor, but we knew the Cavs were in a different class than the Celtics, and just the way that it kind of played out, it's, I don't know. I feel like I've moved past acceptance, probably right after game one, and probably before we even were in the series. So, you know what? You got to just tip your hat to the Cavs at this point and say they're a much better team. I hope they lose by a lot. I hope they get swept in the finals. Like, I cannot bring myself to kind of root for that. I know I said I was rooting for seven games last podcast, but at this point, a Warriors sweep would be plenty entertaining in my book. But, you know what? The Celtics had an amazing season. They met all expectations of what I wanted them to do. I'm pretty sure before the season I was saying Eastern Conference Finals are bust. You would like them to be more competitive, but with them just getting thoroughly stomped in each of the games, it's not like we can pinpoint specific adjustments or specific things. It's just, you know what? The Cavs were clearly a much better team and they deserve to win. And again, thank God for game three, because it feels a lot better to lose in five, even though we got our asses kicked in all four of the losses. It feels good to have that one game, that one win in the series.
I'm sure it feels good for Wick Grosbeck and the ownership group to get an extra $7 million from Game 5 at home. And so there's that little silver lining for those guys. Hey, they're going to have to spend that money at some point on the team. So, you know, good for them. I'm happy for those guys. They've done such a great job with this team. The way they've assembled their front office and the coaching staff, allowing everybody to just do what they do. When you look at ownership from around the league, I'm kind of happy. Like, those guys, you get an extra payday. So good for them for you know, it's a little bit of a reward for the way they've kind of set the Celtics up for success moving forward. And just taking a quick look at the hashtag Rain and Jays from our boy Liam, at Liam CH Green. Pronounced dead, 10:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Is it Eastern Daylight Time or are we in Eastern Standard Time?
I think it's standard, but
I think we're back on standard.
Same
it's okay.
Difference.
Same thing. 5:25:17, but this Celtics season was an unqualified success, right? Sorry, Liam, for kind of calling. I didn't mean to call you out on that. Yes, I agree. Basically, yeah, it's an unqualified success. Look, I don't want to go full post-mortem here, but just to echo your point, this team, before the season, we said they are a potentially low to mid 50 win team, which they met that expectation. We wanted them to get out of the first round. They did that. We wanted them to have a good second round series. They did that, and they won it. And then reaching the Eastern Conference Finals, as we've said in other podcasts, that was the ceiling. And man, was it the ceiling, because it was really just not great. But getting to that point, and when you realize that you didn't have a fully healthy Isaiah, so when you lose this bad, you can't go back and say, oh, what if? Probably still would have lost in five, but who knows? Maybe it would have been six if you had a healthy Isaiah. Maybe that would have opened up some other guys. Maybe some guys would have hit shots if some other guys were healthy. But that's all, you know, I don't even know why I went down that road. The bottom line is, Liam's right. It was a really great season. It was an unqualified success. To reach the Eastern Conference Finals with this team is fantastic. And now they've got some tough decisions, as was mentioned in the podcast, yesterday's podcast with Ryan Bernadoni and Jay, that there are a lot of tough decisions to be made. First and foremost, coming up with the draft in less than a month now. And what happens after that? Can we, are we going to make trades? What are we going to do with this team moving forward? So, yeah, just kind of a deep sigh there for the Boston Celtics. But going back to tonight's game, I think a couple of guys I want to call out. I mean, everybody had their moments throughout the playoffs. I think tonight, Terry Rozier, even though his shooting didn't quite cooperate, I thought he played really hard. Jaylen Brown did a lot of good things. I mean, that was, I think those two guys kind of stood out for me tonight.
No, I'd have to agree with you that they're, I mean, it's hard to say that they kept fighting. I mean, for a team to give up 75 points in the first half, it's like, it's hard to give them a lot of credit, but the Celtics still scored 57 points. And normally that's a damn good first half for an offense. I think there's just no stopping the Cavs tonight, but you're right. I think there was some good individual performances, and the effort, I don't think, was really lacking for the Celtics. I think they were kind of put it out there, but it's just the Cavs are pretty much unstoppable tonight, and especially how lethal they were from three-point land. There's nothing the Celtics would do, but I agree with you. I thought Rozier had a good job tonight. I mean, his percentages were not that great. He only finished with 10 points, 4 of 13, but just kind of the general effort. I love seeing Jaylen Brown refusing help to get up from the Cavaliers. That's just kind of the hatred and competitiveness you like to see in a guy so young, and I'm kind of excited for him to take the next step moving forward. he's taken a lot of huge strides this year. I also want to like just recognize the starters, or a couple of the starters. Avery Bradley was really the only reason the Celtics were, I don't want to say in this game, but scored as many points as they did. I thought he was did a pretty good job. He took 20 shots tonight. With Isaiah on the bench, he really tried to do his best to step up and kind of take the load of the scoring. And he finished with 23 points tonight, was 50% from the field, knocked down a couple threes. And then also, I thought Jay Crowder, more so earlier in the game in the first half, and I'll be honest, that was more of the half that I was paying attention to, because it got kind of hard in the second half when your team's down 30 points in a closeout game. But I thought he did a pretty decent job of just attacking the rim and trying to just keep the team in the fight. And I feel like he's gotten a lot of unfair criticism over these playoffs. A lot of people have blamed a lot of the losses solely on Jay Crowder, which makes no sense to me. But I thought he kind of had a good effort tonight. And even as I say these things, it's tough to just be like giving credit to guys for their good effort when you get your ass so thoroughly kicked in four games. But you know, I'm grasping.
I know it's tough.
Straws here, trying to be positive, but I really just don't want to like be super negative. It's just, the team's just, they're on two different levels. So it's, right. And even though the Celtics lost by a lot, I never thought there was like them totally giving up and the effort was like lackadaisical. I thought they still played hard throughout, and I thought they had a lot of fight. And it's the ultimate kind of moral victory. I don't want to even say the word victory, but it's like a low peg to hang your hat on, but it's still, to have them lose this badly, it still could have been worse. And considering what they have moving forward and the core they have now, I'm not going to be negative after tonight. It's just, there's excitement for this summer, and the guys played their asses off. They played extremely hard. So I just think we have to get them credit for, one, doing that in this series, and second, just playing their asses off to get to this point, because it was a tough road, and they outperformed our expectations in the regular season. They won that incredibly hard-fought series against the Wizards. So shouts to just everyone on the Boston Celtics, including the members of the bench. James Young coming up with two threes tonight. Oh, James Young.
Yes, absolutely. Got to give James Young the credit. I want to recognize the fans also. I want to say thank you, first of all, to the people who are listening. First and foremost, I mean, you are among the most hardcore fans. If you're listening to a podcast like ours on a daily basis, you are one of the hardcore Celtics fans. You're there for everything. And so I want to say thanks to you guys, first of all, for making us part of your, I say it at the top of the show, every show, making us part of your daily routine, but seriously, for taking us along on your ride. You are watching the Celtics, and you make choices, whether it's listening to the podcast or following us individually on Twitter, reading any of our stuff, anything that we've written, whatever it is, however you choose to include us, you choose to include us. And that, to me, means a lot. It really does mean a lot, because it's not necessarily about ratings or like those guys on the radio. They try to say whatever to get people to hate listen or whatever. If you're listening to us or any of the other great podcasts that are out there, we're not the only ones. The fact that you do it is you want to be informed. You want to have solid perspectives. And there are so many good podcasters out there with a bunch of different opinions. We don't always all agree, but it comes from a natural place. It comes from a genuine place. And I'm just thrilled that you guys want to make us part of your Celtics lives, and the fact that you guys are out there chanting "Let's go Celtics" at the end and giving them a standing ovation, it's a classy move, and I just love Celtics fans. And I know it's cliche to say best in the league, but they really are to me. There's just nothing quite like a Boston Celtics fan, so I just want to say thank you.
Can I go on a mini rant right here? Yes. Do I have permission?
You have permission, sure.
Okay, so the Let's Go Celtics chant that has ended the final three seasons, I think is a really cool gesture by Celtics fans who I think are some of the best in the league. It's just an acknowledgement of the entirety of the season and just a kind of a moment to just say, hey, we know this is not how you wanted to end the season, but we appreciate you. And I think it's a really cool moment and not something I've seen in other sports towns and other – it's just not something I've seen in any sport in any other city. And I've been seeing on my Twitter timeline tonight, Adam Jones from 98.5 just kind of shitting all over that and making fun of Celtics fans and kind of being – throwing up all these – like good use of Seinfeld gifts. I'll give Adam Jones that. Good use of like gifts to kind of show his point. But just trying to like I guess shame Celtics fans for that Let's Go Celtics chance. And just like – fuck Adam Jones. For one, he's just has some terrible Celtics takes. But come on, it's just like for fans to come out and just appreciate the team is it's just a nice gesture and a nice moment of connection. And in the long run, it doesn't mean like that much. But I just think to like to kind of just crap on all over that is just the exactly what's wrong with kind of the sports talk in this town. And to quote our mainest man, Rick Pitino, the negativity in this town sucks. And that's that's one of my favorite sports radio drops. And but it's just like I think to be that negative and to just to kind of just crap all over Celtics fans, just showing some sort of appreciation for the fact that the Celtics played 100 games this season and did a very good job. Of course, you want a better result, and of course you don't want to get blown out in the final four games or final series of the season, but I just think it's a really cool moment, and just for him to come with that negativity is just something that it pisses me off at the end of the season, because in the end of the day, I think just think that it's like there's a special connection that Celtics fans have with the team, and to be in the building, it's something that I kind of really missed this season to – be in the building during a playoff game or just any kind of intense Celtics game is kind of a special moment. And there's no like energy in the crowd that I can really compare it to. Maybe kind of an intense Red Sox Yankees game from circa early 2000s, but just kind of that energy in that building and the energy of the fans is something that I think Celtics fans should be proud of. And so if they're going to chant, "Let's go Celtics" at the end of the game, to kind of show their appreciation for the team and their effort, I think that's something that's like a kind of an honorable thing for a fan base. So I don't know. That's just something that kind of pissed me off seeing it on Twitter tonight.
Yeah, I didn't see any of his stuff. I'm trying to go through his timeline as we. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's. I guess
being kind of a jerk about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I liked it. I liked it. It's just, I don't know why. Why would you have a problem with that? You're delusional. It's a send off for the end of the season. I mean, that's just a thing that's developed that Celtics fans have. Just that's a way to say thank you. You're in attendance. What are you going to start chanting? Thank you, Celtics. Like you just. They always chant, "Let's go Celtics." So what's wrong with that? I guess that just goes to show that you can't, this is why we can't have nice things. The fans try to do something nice and show the team that they appreciate what they've done. And, you know, people just want to shit on it. Brad Stevens after the game, quote, "Man, you want to play here because there's no place like the TD Garden in Boston. The fans at the end of the game were," and then he pauses and he says, "it's amazing." Like, those guys see it. I'm not saying that this is like the thing that swings anybody's free agency or anything like that, but, you know, another player watches that and sees a fan base that appreciates a season full of effort. And so you're not completely being booed out of the building all the time. It's not like if you were playing at Madison Square Garden, people would boo and just run out of there. So that's stupid. That's just a stupid thing. So I'm not.
It's not like we're fans in Miami and like leaving during the middle, like with minutes left to play in the clinching game of the NBA Finals. I feel like the fact that there were still fans there at the end of a blowout like this just goes to show that they're the willingness to like that's why they're the best fans in basketball. And I know that's incredibly biased, and I haven't been to an arena outside of Brooklyn or Madison Square Garden, but compared to New York fans, they're way better. But it's just, I don't know. It's something that I've always appreciated about Celtics fans, and I don't want to say I was looking forward to it because I definitely wasn't looking forward to it, but it was a kind of like a nice, I know this is going to happen at the end of the game, and I'm glad that the players and the coaching staff get to experience it that on a night that is probably not probably is definitely shitty for them.
It's
definitely like if I'm like Avery Bradley or Jay Crowder and had to sit on the bench for that fourth quarter and just watch my team get blown out, that's definitely not a fun time. So Hopefully there's some sort of positive they can take out of that. So. You know, it's a cool thing that happens, and I'm here for it at all times. I just think it's a cool thing that happens, and I support it completely.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. That's fine. I'm with you on that. And you know, Celtics fans, one thing you can do to cheer yourself up is go play paintball. I think this is a great idea for whatever occasion. I think, and look, this is the Friday show. You got to make plans for the weekend. Grab a bunch of your boys. Go to Boston Paintball. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. It could be. Could be a bachelor party thing. Could be a family vacation type of deal, a little staycation activity. It could be anything. Could be a Father's Day gift. Something. It's a great idea that will make you one of the most popular people in your group. And it's not like one of those, like if you ever play pickup ball, Sam, you know this, when you play pickup ball and there's that one guy who's like way too serious, like,
oh yeah,
this is like his NBA finals. Paintball has that too, where the guy kind of like shows up with his own gun and he's got like camouflage. Like that's not really what this is. This has, paintball's changed a lot over the past couple of decades. Boston Paintball promises that you will, in fact, be loved by everyone for your sheer brilliance and creativity of choosing this as the thing to do with your group. And there are three different versions of paintball to choose from, so you can bring really people of almost all ages. They have this thing called Splatmaster.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds intense.
It's for kids like 8 years old plus.
Okay, not that intense.
No, it's like it's not intense at all. It sounds like, but it's like it's just for kids. You want to go out there and you'll play paintball, like that's fun. A low impact, like classic paintball for kids like 10 years old and older. So it's you're not getting pelted and bruised up. And then they offer an option for all the grown-ups in the group. You got private group play, and they've got three locations. This is a place that's been in business for over 25 years, and each place has its own different experience. There's the indoor and night play in Chelsea, outdoor competition, and Woods Ball Fields in Maynard. And I mentioned this the last time, and I'm never going to get through this without saying this is completely awesome. A real-life 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland complete with a hospital, an airplane, and an army deuce. That, again, sounds super cool. Boston Paintball got its start over on Causeway Street in the shadow of the old Boston Garden. I know these guys are big Celtics fans, and the owner is a season ticket holder. So if you're going to frequent this business, you're helping out a fellow Celtics fan run his business. So it's a local thing. Help them out. Definitely check them out. They're leaders in the industry, in business since 1992. You can trust your kids, your special occasion, and your memories with Boston Paintball. This is all you got to do. Go to bostonpaintball.com, make your reservation online, book a game with the coupon code GREEN, and you'll get $50 off a group package. Use the coupon code GREEN at bostonpaintball.com. You'll get $50 off a group package. You'll get video tours of the facility and the website, and you can figure out which location you want to choose. Coupon code GREEN, $50 off a group package at bostonpaintball.com. Check them out. See, just talking about it, I'm already in a better mood. Like, that's going to be super cool. I cannot wait to go do that.
That, like, mock cityscape thing sounds like the coolest thing in the world. Like, if you ever want to get into some sort of video game world, like, that sounds exactly like you where you want to be. And I wonder if there's a way you can get exclusively green paintballs so you can just be shooting kind of green paint at people, because that sounds like a perfect thing for Celtics fans.
Oh, it'd be so great. Like, just green and white paintballs. That'd be awesome.
That'd be perfect.
I think I'm telling you, we got to do this. This is just an absolute must. I'm very excited about this. I'm like looking forward to this basically almost as much as I'm looking forward to the draft, which is in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks.
Well, the draft at this point, unless there's a trade like coming down the pipe, the draft seems like it's almost kind of, it's not going to be as exciting because it feels like it's faults 1,000% of the way. So maybe that June 1st or July 1st deadline is more exciting, but more exciting than all of that is anytime you can get to Boston Paintball and just obliterate your friends with some low-key violence.
I'm all in for that. Let's just get through a few more of these tweets. I don't know. Do we want to do – we've got – do you have any junk drawer material for today, or do we want to – we haven't even talked about the junk drawer.
I've got some junk drawer I can definitely go to.
Yeah, and then we should do like a – I don't know. We gotta do a conference finals mystery machine.
Man, I don't know if the Celtics deserve a mystery machine.
We gotta do something. We gotta do something. We can get creative with it. Okay. Let's see. At Buckner's Revenge says, I was at the game, proud to be among them, chanting my head off. So I want to just acknowledge him. I think we've got a bunch of people saying thank you here, like Eric Santos. Having the pod to listen to every day makes the season so much more fun. Thanks, you guys. I want to say thanks to Eric for listening. That's amazing stuff. Let's see. Lawrence at Jail Smooth 2021. The NBA needs to have a third place series during the finals because I don't think I can stomach either the Cavs or Golden State winning the finals. A third place series. That would be amazing. But
maybe like a nice three-game series, just best two out of three. It'd be real fun to see the Celtics and Spurs play right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not with Kawhi hurt. It'd be more fun with Kawhi and Isaiah Thomas out there. But it, feasibly, like, it would never work. But in theory, I'm all for it because I would like to see more basketball. And for some reason, we're going to take a bunch of days off before the actual finals start.
This finals start on Thursday. Like, we're recording this on Thursday. We just watched the Celtics play on a Thursday. They got to wait a week? That's ridiculous. That's stupid. So now, I know why. And it's like scheduling, and arenas have to be packed. And back in the day, you didn't have that. But it's just stupid. I just wish there were other choices. But I'm sure that Oracle is booked with some stupid concerts and you have to wait, or there's got to be a convention. I don't even want to look at their schedule to see what dumb stuff is holding up the NBA finals. I'm sure somebody's going to look and it's going to be something very worthy and worthwhile, and I'm going to sound stupid, but whatever. So I'm in for a third place series between the Spurs and the Celtics right now. Let's do it. Tip it off in 2 days. 5-game series, 3-game series. Maybe a 4-on-4. Ooh, full court 4-on-4. That'd be fun.
Even just a skills competition. It's just some sort of basketball.
Something.
Thing
yeah,
to get
right?
Get us through this week.
Phil at Phil Getson. More credence to Sam Packard's theory that Kevin Love is the devil. Fiance turns to me and says, ooh, he's hot.
Oh, Phil. That's tough.
Phil. Fiance.
But I agree with you. He is the devil. And you know what? A lot of people like the devil. I don't blame your fiance. I mean, it's that the devil's the ultimate temptation, if I believe I've read the scriptures correctly.
It's true. That is true. He is here to tempt you and ruin you. Resist! Resist! The power of Christ compels you. All right. Let's wrap this up with a little junk drawer action, and let's power through this.
All right, the junk drawer is going to be a little bit shorter tonight because, again, it's harder to take notes when your team's being so terrible. But Phil did a good preview right there because the first note in the junk drawer is Kevin Love is the devil. second, Kelly Olynyk had a nice air ball tonight and then followed it up with some stupid turnovers, and that's the classic, the Kelly Olynyk way. It's just like, oh, man, Kelly, you peaked so hard in Game 7, and you think you're going to contribute after that, but it just felt like in this series it was wasn't meant to be. And perhaps it's Kelly Olynyk's last game in a Celtics uniform. And I just want to give a shout-out to right now to all the possible Celtics who played their last game in a Celtics uniform. That would be Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Zeller, the big dog Amir Johnson, Gerald Green, James Young, hopefully he played his last game in a Celtics uniform. But to the rest of the guys,
Jonas Jerebko.
Jonas Jerebko again, and there's a number of players who could be traded. But for those guys with whose contracts are up or are not guaranteed next year, shouts to them, and especially Kelly Olynyk, the baby giraffe. He's done some amazing things for the Celtics, and he's been kind of taking the brunt of Celtics Twitters at some points, and we'll always remember that Game 7 and his potential that he sometimes reached but never really got there. But so shouts to Kelly Olynyk. The Cavaliers it's tough to complain when they just thoroughly kicked their ass, but just the endless whining they did about calls. There was one point in the third quarter where Ty Lue asked the referees to review a three, whether or not a Celtics player's foot was on the line, and literally the Cavs are up 30 points. And it's just like, come on, Ty Lue. Like, this is getting ridiculous. I understand being competitive, but it just felt like for how much the Cavaliers were up this entire series, the amount they complained about the calls was so frustrating. And it's one of the major, major reasons I'm rooting for the Warriors moving forward. LeBron James and I think Deron Williams have to get credit for this. Their hairlines are totally fake. We had Brad Barrett at Brad B. Wrights saying pretty sure that D. Will and Bron buy their hair from the same place Carlos Boozer did. I think that's an excellent point. Both of those guys have completely fake hair, and you can tell I'm grasping at straws here because that's pretty much all I got. I love that Gerald Green randomly got a technical foul, just complaining about a reach-in. To show that kind of intensity when down that much is fantastic. I'm really disappointed that my newest nemesis, Justin Rowan, does not have to get a face tattoo. After game four, he said he was committed to it. I still don't think he would ever have done it, but he said he might have gotten a henna tattoo. But it's just disappointing that I mean, I don't think the Celtics had any chance of winning that series, but come on. It would have been great to have him get a face tattoo. The other thing is hashtag Patino game. This is something that Amin El-Hassan does after any time there's someone loses in a playoff series. Someone will tweet at him, or a random obscure player is not coming through that door, to kind of quote Rick Pitino. I really don't want this to come off as like a salty Celtics fan, but I feel like I've been saying this all playoffs. I just don't really like think it's funny, and I don't get the joke. Like a bunch of people tweet at him. They can like go through old rosters of the team and figure out players who haven't been mentioned, but it's just something that floods my timeline at the end of every series, and I don't get it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's a thing that I don't know. I'm not going to begrudge them.
It's frustrating at this point. Like, I understand it was a thing, but like at some point there's got to be some diminishing returns on its entertainment value, and I no longer find it entertaining. That's got to wrap it up for me. The only thing I can think to bring up right now is how nasty is Shaq's big toe.
That's
the grossest thing I've seen on television.
Yeah, I've successfully avoided that. I know. Having said that, it's just going to get tweeted at me. I will not be able to avoid it, but I'm going to try as much as possible. because I'm from what I understand, it's really, really gross. And
it curves all off in directions that big toes shouldn't. Yeah. And like, I don't know what the gout is. I only really know this from like the Adam Sandler song Lunch Lady Land. I think it has something to do with your feet, but I'm pretty sure Shaq has gout.
I don't really want to know if that's true. Please don't tweet me the picture, which I know what that means.
You're going to get the picture.
I'm going to get the picture like a million times.
Can I say the opposite advice and you just please as many people as possible tweet the picture at John, because I think that's entertaining.
It's inescapable now. I might as well just go look at it. That's it. So you know what? Screw it. I'll go look after the podcast. I'll go look it up. I'll just do it to myself. Fine.
Guys, just in case he's not going to be honest right now, I still suggest you tweet the Shaq's foot at him, just in case he didn't get the right link or the right angle.
You son of a bitch.
that's all I got for the junk drawer tonight. I mean, in a game like this, there's a lot less stupid shit I can observe. It's just kind of depressing. And I was focusing more on the beverages I was having at the establishment.
That's quite all right. Let's get a mystery machine. Let's do it. Let's just do what we do and do a mystery machine. And you know what? There's no Isaiah on this mystery machine because he only played two games and those were mostly ineffective games. So we have a challenge. We have an actual challenge to...
This is the hardest mystery machine we've done because they played five pretty bad or not great games. So to find five players, let's do it.
Let's, you know, look, we got to put five people are getting in that mystery machine. They're going for that ride. So I'll start with Avery Bradley, who I think is one of a couple of locks. So I'll say Avery has had a pretty consistent series. Like tonight, he did a lot of the scoring. He hit the game winner, obviously, in game three. So I think, he had some defensive success, not completely, but who's going to have complete defensive success against Kyrie Irving? So I'll go with Avery Bradley first.
That's valid. I think the second one's just as obvious. For the mainest man who shot 7 of 10 from three-point land in Game 3, Marcus Smart. I mean, there's so many things to say about Marcus Smart, but I'm just going to focus on that 7 of 10. it's just there's no way the Celtics win Game 3 without him, and that's like the kind of the classic Marcus Smart game is sometimes he's going to be – sometimes he's going to shoot 70% from beyond the arc, so he has to definitely be a major spot in the mystery machine.
Okay, now it gets tough.
Yeah, now it's the hard part.
Now it gets tough. I'll say I'm going to go with Jonas Jerebko.
That was my one. All right, now I've got to lurk for another one while you talk about Jonas for a second.
Jonas Jerebko. For a couple of reasons, game three, we got to focus on the win. He was a very underrated factor in game three. And then in game four, played a pretty good role. But beyond the minutes that he gave, and tonight didn't get a ton, he definitely gets on for the shit-talking. Getting up in people's faces, standing over Kevin Love and say, stop flopping. Like, just the attitude, that's enough to get him on a mystery machine. He just, with a serious edge, the edge of Jonas Jerebko, as much as the play of Jonas Jerebko when he got the time, gets him onto the mystery machine for me.
Absolutely. Just for... he would get there. He played pretty well in that game three, and I thought he had a nice boost. But just for standing over Kelvin Love and telling him to stop flopping, that's an automatic ride to the mystery machine. I love Jerebko's edge. His natural Swedish anger is just it's fantastic. And I don't know if this. Okay, so we got to the hard part. Now it's really difficult narrowing it down to the final two spots. I'm going to have to go with Al Horford. And it's not that he had the most amazing series on the court, but it's just the fact that he got that one win and got the monkey off his back and is no longer winless against the Cavaliers. That was just such a frustrating statistic as someone who's I've fallen in love with Al Horford this season, and just to see that statistic, and especially after the thorough ass whipping the Celtics took in the first two games, it was very frustrating to see that. So it's still a super lopsided number, but you know what? One win is definitely better than zero. So for Al Horford, and by extension, his sister Anna Horford, for talking so much shit on Twitter, I think definitely someone from the Horford family deserves to be in the mystery machine. I don't know if it's Al or Anna at this point, but the Horford family is no longer winless against LeBron James. And for that, I'm saying come on down.
I would happily include Anna Horford in the mystery machine. She's been awesome on Twitter. She's awesome. She is all about it. She's fully on board, supporting her brother, supporting the team, and very outspoken. So very cool. She's been really cool. All right, fifth spot. This is tough. This is a tough choice. I don't know. I think I have to go off the grid because I could. I feel like I'm on like who wants to be a millionaire, where you got to talk through your answers. I could give it to Jay Crowder, who really had a few pretty decent games and was kind of underrated in this series. I could give it to Terry Rozier, who, you know, first of all, playoff Tito, and
playoff Tito, big shouts.
And I feel like he just worked his ass off and did a lot of things that not necessarily were big stat contributions, but he did a lot. But you know what? I'm going to go with Brad Stevens.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I feel like Brad Stevens, and we're going to put him on there. We're not going to give him a choice. We're going to put him on there. First of all, the out of timeout plays have garnered him a lot more national attention. You see a lot more people writing the stories of he's the reason why free agents would want to come to Boston, and he is. He's a big reason, as much as any other reason, besides obviously money. Money's a huge reason, and the number one reason anybody would want to go to any team. But the situation that he creates, and just him calmly kind of guiding these guys, I think he's done a great job. And to take this team beyond expectations, I think he definitely deserves to be on the mystery machine.
Oh, definitely. It's the amount of adjustments he had to make throughout this playoffs, but in this series alone without Isaiah Thomas playing the final three games. I thought the Celtics played great basketball in game three and the start of first half of game four. And like you said, those out of timeouts plays, especially at the end of game three, where they were 3 for 3 at the end of the game, and really were one of the major reasons why they won the game. So Brad Stevens has to be on the mystery machine. I feel like we've precluded him in the past because he had such a job to focus on with coaching. But now that the season's over, Brad, time to relax. You don't have to inhale anything on the mystery machine, but just hang out, man. It's just like, just be part of the party.
Yeah, the contact high will be enough.
Yeah, it's just have some fun, let loose for a day or two before you get into draft preparation. And just come on down, have fun with the guys.
I wish I could remember who tweeted this, but someone tweeted, and it wasn't me, that said, no matter what happens in today's game, Brad Stevens will probably be breaking down film tomorrow. So I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
Do you think it's Markel Fultz film, or do you think it's Game 5 film?
I think there might be a little bit of both. But he's going to dive right into the workouts. I know there was a contingent from the Celtics in New York City today to catch a few workouts, and Brad Stevens is going to be getting right into it and getting his opinion on some of these guys. They haven't worked out Fultz yet, so they're going to – he'll be part of that. So he's going to stick around. He's got work to do. So while the rest of these guys get to plan a vacation in the coming days, Brad Stevens still working, still on the court. So that dude just keeps on going. He'll have an opportunity, I think, in like August to take a month and get away to wherever he gets away to. Probably just going back to Indiana.
But what is a Brad Stevens vacation? Is he going to go visit the Hoosiers gym for like the 18th time? Like, I just don't.
No, he's
a vacation without basketball for Brad Stevens doesn't seem like a vacation. And I know, like, I've called him a Midwestern coaching robot before, but it just seems like that guy lives and breathes basketball more than anyone I've ever known. And it feels like he would be the type of person who's like uncomfortable in Hawaii or like a Caribbean island just because they didn't have access to like NBA classics.
He'll go wherever the family wants to go. They'll get together. They'll make a solid, rational decision. You know, like as a team,
they'll break down the film of wind patterns in different regions.
They'll look at the statistics. They'll look at the numbers. They'll find the most efficient path to wherever they're going to go to maximize their fun. And they won't get too high. They won't get too low. They'll just enjoy the ride.
It's about the process, not the results.
Exactly. That said,
he feels like a big national parks guy.
Yeah. He's probably got like this awesome house on a lake in Indiana somewhere that he retreats to. And if the kids want to go to Disneyland or something else, he'll go with them and he'll have his fun. But that's probably what Brad does. He's not renting a yacht with rappers or rock stars or movie stars or anybody like that. So
I would love that would for be awesome. Terry Rozier and Brad Stevens to somehow like have a dual vacation where they do the same activities for a week. Just because I feel like those two guys have the most different lifestyles out of any people on the Celtics. If you follow Terry Rozier on Snapchat, you know what I'm talking about. So just for any moment where those two guys can get together this summer, I'm here for that. If Brad Stevens somehow shows up on Terry Rozier's Snapchat this summer, I think that's a success.
That would be amazing. It sounds like a bad TBS sitcom. Anyway.
Or a great TBS sitcom.
All right. Great season, guys. Great season.
And we're not going anywhere because this summer is going to be filled with rumors and filled with analysis all up to the trading deadline, all in free agency. So this is definitely not the last of the reigning Jays, because there's plenty to talk about as the Celtics move forward and what will probably be the most interesting offseason of their history, probably maybe more interesting than what happened in 2008, but who knows? It's definitely going to be a lot of storylines and lots of stuff to talk about. So we're not going anywhere.
The show's not going anywhere, but you know, I'm just saying thanks for the fun for this season. But yeah, we got a ton to talk about. We're still here Monday through Friday, so don't worry about that. If you subscribe, you'll know it. Because it'll pop up on your phone or your feed or wherever. So subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Do that. If you're there, rate us 5 stars, leave a little review. That really is like the best thing you can do for us, because that promotes us and that gets us up the rankings and it lets people know. And by letting people know, and the more people that subscribe, the more people listen to advertisers. And that's the way that you pay us. Like Millie says in the intro, probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. It's a freebie, but if you do that little thing and subscribe and rate us and leave a review, then that is basically like paying us. Speaking of paying us, the people at Boston Paintball do it so you can go out there and have some fun. And I'm going to pay them to go play some paintball too at some point. But go visit bostonpaintball.com. 3 locations in Chelsea, Maynard, Ashland. Go check out bostonpaintball.com. Coupon code GREEN, and you'll get $50 off a group package. Now, they are advertising with us because they emailed us at lockedoncelltics@gmail.com. The numbers for this podcast have skyrocketed, and the interest is only going to get higher. So if you are a local Boston business, you're trying to reach an audience that's 97% men in that key demographic in the mid-20s to the 40s, guys with money, guys with they're working and got disposable income. That's our listeners. So if you want them, you need to email us at lockedoncelltics@gmail.com. The rates are really reasonable. You got to get in now because Free agency in the draft is going to be a very, very popular time. As much as our numbers go up in the playoffs, July is always, always the hottest time. In 11 years of my blogging and podcasting, July has always been our best month. People love, love, love free agency. They love that stuff. So get in now while the getting's good. Also, if you're looking for a job and you want to join the Locked On Podcast Network, the Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. So be part of the fastest growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcast@gmail.com with your resume. That's lockedonpodcast@gmail.com. Send your resume in. They're hiring a national sales manager. Okay, guys, season ends on a tough note, a 135-102 loss to the Cavaliers, game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Season is over, and now it's on to the draft and free agency, and what will the Celtics do? We're going to be breaking it down between now and then. Lots of variables, lots of things, lots of people to evaluate. Who do we keep? Who do we trade? Who do we cut? Who do we sign? We're going to be talking about that over the next few months daily. So stick with us, subscribe, rate us, and all of that. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.